Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Seeing Jesus. We've gone all the way already to the book of Philippians. Seems like it's flying by. Just gotten through so much. We still have a lot to go. Maybe not a lot of pages in your Bible, but it packs a lot of books into that last little part. Lord willing, this is going to be a very encouraging message tonight. That's what I'm asking the Lord to do this evening, just to encourage your hearts. And so we're going to start in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 4, and we'll read down through verse 9. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Let's begin with prayer. Lord, our desire tonight is that you would be exalted through this message, and so we pray that you would accomplish that. And Lord, would you encourage us this evening as we spend time in your word? Help us to see Jesus Christ tonight. And Lord, may we be changed because of who you are. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. How many of you have a physical, recorded, written down somewhere to-do list? How many of you? Wow, not as many as I thought. How many of you, it's all mental? It's all up here. Yeah, you guys are my heroes. I could never do that. I have mine's on my phone, right? I have a to-do list app, and I counted. I have 16 things on my to-do list, and it's got a system where you can star them, and that'll bring them to the top of the list. I've got half of them starred. I got to do all of them, but for some reason, I've starred half of them. And so, none of them. They're on my to-do list. They're all for this week, right? I'm trying to get them all done this week. And some of these, as I look through, some of these are weekly ones, right? It's I do them every week and I just keep them on there. Other of them, there's ones that I have to they're unique for this week. But some of them I've had on here for a long time and they kind of just keep getting pushed back, you know? There's also ones where there's ones I want to do regularly, and I used to be really good at it. When I first put it on the list, it was yeah, every week I'm going to do this, and now it's maybe next week, right? There's always another week coming up I can do those, and so it kind of goes like that. But sometimes, you get your to-do list, and you look at it and go, man, it's overwhelming. Maybe it's this time of year, right, because you got more, you're getting gifts for people, you've got stuff you've got to make, and all this you got to do, and sometimes you just look at that list and you go, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to get all of this done this week. And, sometimes you're I can push some things back. And other things you're I got a deadline for this. I cannot push this beyond this date. I've got to get it all done. And I'm sure I'm not alone in sometimes looking at that to-do list going, I don't know if it's all going to get done. Sometimes we get overwhelmed, I think, as Christians too, looking at all the Bible requires from us and all the Bible says that we're supposed to do. And, I was reading this list in the beginning of Philippians chapter 4 going, that's kind of a lot of stuff that Paul is laying out for them. He starts in verse 4 and he says, all right, I want you to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. All right, he says you need to be rejoicing. He gives them that one. He says in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. I don't live in excess. He says in verse 6, don't worry about things. Be careful for nothing. Also, pray about everything. Prayer and supplication. And while you're at it, be thankful, all right? So rejoice in the Lord, let your moderation be known to all men. Be careful for nothing. Pray about everything, and while you're praying, make sure you're thankful about all of them. Verse 7, have the peace of God that passeth all understanding, right? And then make sure that that's keeping your hearts and minds, right, through Christ Jesus. And then verse 8, here's what I've got to be thinking about, all of these things. In addition to thinking about those things, make sure I'm thinking about things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. I've got to be thinking about those things. And then we get to verse 9, where he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And then he throws out this blanket statement. He goes, everything you have seen me do as this, you know, follow me as I follow Christ, that pattern. Paul says, listen, all of that you've seen me do, you know, well, also all that you've learned from me and also that you've heard from me, all of that, just do that. You go, that's quite the list. You know, you're scrolling through going, that's a lot of things I've now got on my to-do list. They're all important. I've got to star them all, right? I can't leave anything off the list. They're all important I've got to do. And then we go, that's how many verses? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses out of the Bible. And you go, I've got a lot. I've got a lot on my to-do list, or we could say a to-be list. There's a lot that we're supposed to do. And, you know, there's probably some things we would look at that list and go, you know, there's some things I've been putting off, you know, kind of pushing back and saying, I'll maybe get to that one. Or there's things that maybe we go, I used to be really good at that, you know, on top of these things, and now not so much anymore. And just looking at it and going, it's kind of overwhelming. And really it is. You think about all that God wants for us and all that, how God wants to bless our life with doing all these things and being all of these things. And we go, it's a lot. And then, you know, we add on top of that, you get 2 messages every Sunday and a Sunday school, all right? So if you get one thing out of each of those, that's 3 things. And let's be honest, there's usually more than one thing from each sermon or one from each Sunday school lesson. You got Wednesday night, you've got your devotions where you're reading all the time, and so much stuff. And we look at that and go, that's a lot of things that are expected of me as a Christian. We can get to the point where almost like we're overwhelmed and maybe even to the point where we're kind of frustrated because we're saying, I can't get all of this done. And we look at it and go, it's in theory, this is what my life is supposed to be, where I'm checking off all these boxes, right? And all of these things are there and doing those and being those things. And in theory, right, this is what my life is supposed to be. But we sometimes go, it's just not that. It reminds me of when I was in high school, I used to play golf. And I remember I worked at Big Y in Norwich, and in the break room, they had golf magazines. So I would go up there in break time, and I would read these golf magazines, and they're great. You know, I'm going through reading all these articles, and there's like diagrams and pictures about, you know, swing angle and the way your club face is rotated and your grip and how far apart your feet are supposed to be depending on how you want to hit the shot and where you place the tee, how far back from the ball you're supposed to stand, like all this stuff. So I've got all this knowledge that I'm putting in my mind going, oh, this is going to be great when I get out there. I would get out there and I've got, literally, I would have like a list. I'm trying to keep it all in my mind. Be like, all right, in this 2-second swing, that's probably slow, but you know, in this like fast swing, I've got to do this and this, keep my eye on the ball, make sure I'm, you know, my angle is right and all of this. And I've got all this into my mind and I was trying to put it all into practice. And I'll be honest, if I got like 1 out of all of those things, it was a good shot for me. Just 1. But I would get frustrated because it wouldn't be half the time or much more than half the time. It would be a horrible shot. And I go, why? I know all of this stuff. Why can't I just do it when I'm trying to? And I got really frustrated. And really, the one thing I left off my list was have fun, relax, have a good time out on the golf course, which is kind of like the one thing you should have on that list, right? And I would leave that off so many times and be so focused on other things that let's not do this anymore. Like, why am I doing this? It's not fun anymore. And I'm afraid that sometimes our Christian life is like that. It can get like that. We're like, boy, I've got all these things that I'm trying to do, all these, you know, things that I'm trying to put into place in my life, and it seems like I'm not, and it's just, there's just so much in the Word of God that I've, you know, I'm supposed to keep this in mind and be thinking about that and doing this and all of these things. And we can go, how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to really realistically, not just in theory, but realistically have all of this in play in my life? But so that's we come down through verse 9 with this list that Paul lays out for them. But then Paul says something, starting in verse 10. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now in the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Speaking about how they've been giving to him and supporting Paul. And he's thankful for that, rejoicing in the Lord for that. But then he says in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Then he says, I know how, both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hunger, both to abound and to suffer need. And Paul, in verses 11 and 12, gives them an example of what he says has been this reality in his life. Because he says in verse 12, he says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. He says, I know how to do these things. And really what he's saying is, I know how to do them right. Right? To be godly in all of these things and to please the Lord in all of that. And he really mentions two circumstances. Okay? He says, I know how to be abased. He says that in verse 12. And some synonyms. He says, I know how to suffer need. In the end of verse 12, in the middle of verse 12, he says, I know how to be hungry. He's talking about that sort of circumstance where we just didn't have all the things that we would say that he needed and just going without, right? Being in that time of life. And I'm not sure that we know exactly what he was referring to, but maybe could be that maybe he had in mind when he was in jail in Philippi, right? That's just one of the things I thought about, right? Being in the book of Philippians and now writing back to this church where he had been there. And in that time, he was in that jail in Philippi, and I'm assuming, right, that he didn't have all the amenities of life while he was there. And yet, we find in that time, just like the instance of Paul and Silas singing as they were in that jail. And Paul is saying in verse 12, he says, I know how to be abased. I know how to suffer need and be hungry. And I know how to do it from verse 11. I know how to do it with contentment. That I can be content in whatsoever state I'm in. So not just, he says, I've not just know how to like find myself in these circumstances. He's saying, I know how to go through that and yet be content with my lot in life. Be content with what God has allowed me to go through and allowed me to have, even when I seem like I don't have anything. And I think it also, if we go back up a little further to verse 4 and 6, I think he would be saying these applied in that time where I suffered need, where he says, I rejoiced in the Lord always, even in that time, right? Him and Silas were in that jail cell singing praise to the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. Verse 6, where he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think Paul would be able to say, that's what I was able to do, even when I didn't have anything. I was able to just trust the Lord, not worry about this, bring my request before God, be thankful, have the peace of God from verse 7. Paul says, I know how to do this. I know how to go through these circumstances like that. And Paul wasn't just saying, I know what I'm supposed to do. He was saying, I found out how I can do this. Not just that this is the theory, right? This is the theory of how we're supposed to act in these. He's not just saying, I know that theory. He's saying, I found how it can be a reality in my life. You know, I was thinking about the similarities between this and what Paul is writing here and the explorations of Marco Polo, and as he wrote about those. At the age of 17, Marco Polo went with his, and the person, not the game, he went with his father and his uncle, and they left Italy, and they went all throughout Asia, and they spent years traveling through Asia, and he spent several years as an emissary for Kublai Khan. Right, and so he just had that authority. He traveled all throughout Asia, and then 24 years later, right, 24 years after they left, he came back to Italy, and they finally came back, and he recorded all of his travels, right, all that he did, and all the incredible wealth that they saw in Asia, and all the incredible knowledge that they found there, and just the beauty of this, what was to many people in Italy and to Europe, places they hadn't gotten. They had never seen these places before, and he came back and recorded all and said, this is amazing, the place I've been, and how much knowledge is there, and how beautiful the land is, how rich they are, and all of this. And he came back after he had seen it for himself and said, you guys have to hear about this, what I've seen. And the stories are true. All the stories we've heard about how wonderful it is, he said that those stories are true and all of that. And so his book was published and passed throughout all of Europe, and I see a similarity here, right? Where Paul is saying, listen, the stories you've heard about how you could live as a Christian, he says, they're true. He says, and I don't, it's not just something I've heard. He says, it's something I've lived, where I've been in these situations, where I have gone without. And he said, I'm telling you, you can do it because I've done it. You can go through these with rejoicing, and you can go through them without worrying and with thanksgiving. Paul's saying, it's not just something I know about. He says, it's something I have seen play out in my life. He says, it's not just theory. He says, it's a reality for me. And so Paul says, listen, it's a reality that you can go through being abased and suffering hunger and need this way. Do it the right way. But it's not just that. He says also in verse 12, he says, I also know how to abound, to have a lot of stuff and do it the right way. The word abound means to be overflowing or exceeding a set amount. He also says the synonym, I'm instructed both to be full, to have all that I need, and then kind of beyond that. But again, it's not just being in that situation. It's doing it the right way as a Christian, in a way that pleases God. And we understand that just as not having enough comes with a set of trials and temptations, so having a lot, having more than you need, comes with trials and temptations. And I think if we go back up to, again, to verse 11, Paul says, I've learned how to do that, to be in that state with contentment. I've learned how to have a lot and still be content. And we know, don't we, that just because you have a lot, just because you have enough, doesn't automatically mean that you are content, because the question then is, well, how much really is enough? You know, maybe more. Maybe if I just had a little more, then that would be enough. And we know that if that's what you're focused on, enough is never enough. You're never going to have enough. Even if you have plenty, you're still going to say, well, there's more that could be attained. There's more that I could go after and I could get. Paul's saying, I've been in those times where I've had enough, and I've found that I could be content even in that time. And so Paul said, I know how to do that with contentment. And then if we go back up and maybe pull verse 5, and I think we could say that Paul would say, I know how to do that with moderation, right? Not live in excess, right? And I found some instances of people who were very rich and did not live in moderation. Mike Tyson, right? Before he went bankrupt in 2003, he spent $140,000 on two white Bengal tigers. $140,000 he spent on those two. But then, and this kind of makes sense after that though, he spent $125,000 a year for an on-call trainer. I mean, that kind of makes sense, right? If you're going to have two tigers, you want someone to work with those tigers. If you spend $140,000 on tigers, please spend $125,000 to have someone take care of those for you and you know, deal with those things. I think that makes sense, but that's a lot of money. One celebrity paid $276,000 for a dinosaur skull. Like, I hope it was a legitimate dinosaur skull. You know, you pay $276,000 for that. There's another one that spent $325,000 on a doghouse. More on a doghouse than I spent on my house. There is a dog somewhere, probably out in California, who lives in a house that's worth way more than my house. I don't know what to think about that. But we look at that and go, that's excess, right? But I think the excess that Paul was talking about in verse 5 and the moderation that he had in his life, even when he had more than enough, probably would hit a little closer to home to all of us than the examples that I've given. But Paul says, I've learned how to do that. I know there's a way for you to do that, to have more than you need, to have enough, and yet to still be content, not get sucked into that pursuit. And he says, I also know that you can do that. And he says, because I've lived it, I know how to do that with moderation, with not excess and just spending all of that on things that do not matter. And Paul says, it's more than just a theory. He says, I know it's a reality. He says, because I have lived that. And that's what we need to hear. When we look at all the things that we have to do, we have to know that it's not just something that's theoretical for Christians, that a Christian can really rejoice in all things or not worry, but give everything to the Lord through prayer and supplication and be thankful and all of that. And to go through all of these things, we have to understand that if God asks it from us, then it can be a reality in our life, more than just a theory or something that the Lord says is possible, but we look at and go, it's really not for us. And so then we come down to verse 13. Because Paul then tells them how. And it's simple. I can do all things, Paul said, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that's where we see Jesus tonight. We see Jesus Christ, our strength. Jesus, our strength. And Jesus is the one who is able to turn theory into a reality for us. To take those things that we look at and go, I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that. Jesus does that for us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And you know, there's a lot in this verse. And we could just take it word by word. We could spend a lot of time here and we're not. I, right? That's you. And that's me. And you know who we are? That I refers to people that are sinners, that are imperfect, that still battle with the flesh, that still fall and fail. That's who that I refers to. That's you and me and our struggles and the way we have let Christ down so many times in the past. That's who that's talking about. I can. That means it's a possibility. It's not something that's unattainable or impossible. I can. That's a word of possibility for us. I can do, which means that it's not just theoretical. It's a reality. It's something that can play out in our life, in our actions, in our thoughts, in our words, all about our life. I can do. And then he says, I can do all things, everything, that there is nothing left undone. That's what that means. There's nothing that we haven't checked off our to-do list at the end of the day. I can do all things. And then we have the word through, which means that this isn't, it's not resting upon our shoulders. This is about dependence, with us looking to someone else for this. It's not our agency, it's someone else that we're looking to. I can do all things through, and then we come to Christ. I can do all things through Christ. He's my Savior, He's my Lord, He's my Redeemer, He's my Creator, He is my God, He is everything to me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth, which means that's the ability, that's the power that we need. And it flows from Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth, right? It finds its source in Jesus Christ. It flows from Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth, and then it comes back to me, the receiver, the one who benefits from this, the one who is blessed because of the strength of Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, there's another verse that Jesus said in Luke chapter 18. He said in verse 27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. The things that are impossible with you and with me, well, they're possible with God. The things that are just theoretical for us, saying, I know I'm supposed to do that, but I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to play out in my life. I don't know how I can ever get this to be part of who I am and part of my life. The things that are impossible with you and with me, those things are possible with God because Christ is our strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And the power of Christ then takes theory and it turns it into reality. And God asks a lot from us. We go through the Word of God and we see the whole list and we say, God asks a lot from His children. But God does that because He gives us everything we need through Christ. Everything we need through Christ. God wouldn't demand or ask things of us that He would not then supply the power to do through Jesus Christ and the Spirit of Christ in us. He doesn't ask us to do things and say, you're on your own, figure out a way. Figure out a way to get this done or be this. He says, the only reason I ask this is because I know who lives in you as a child of God. I know the strength of Christ and the Spirit of Christ that is in you. He says, I know that you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. That's why he can say, rejoice in the Lord always. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Be careful for nothing. And all of these things because of Jesus Christ. And the secret to getting everything done on our to-do list and our to-be list is Christ. Christ, our strength. And it's making the decision to depend on Christ to do everything through us. And I want to go to, if you'll go with me, to Matthew chapter 17. I want to see this account from the Gospels as an illustration of the strength of Christ through us. Matthew chapter 17, and verse 14. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. So the disciples are there, and there comes this man to them, right, kind of before the story starts in verse 14, prior to this, and this man comes to them, and the disciples, and comes to the disciples and said, Listen, can you cast out this devil out of my son? They try, and they cannot do it. Or they just look at him and say, we can't do that, right? And so then the man comes to Jesus Christ and tells what the disciples couldn't do. They're like, oh, why were you telling him about this? You know, could you just pretend it never happened? But he comes to the Lord and says, listen, I brought him to thy disciples. They could not cure him. And then, right, after Jesus Christ takes care of it, the disciples in verse 19, they go, why could we not cast him out? He said, why couldn't we do this? Why was this not possible for us to do this? And many times we find ourselves right there going, why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't this just happen in my life? Why can't I just have victory over these things in my life? Why can't I not just be this? Like, why is this my life? And then Jesus Christ says to them in verse 20, he says, well, it's because of your unbelief. And then he says to them, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And he says, you just need to have faith in Christ, right? Faith in Christ, depending on Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then he says in verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting, right? Serious, focused faith is what he's talking about, through prayer and through fasting. You know, I read through this in verse 20 and go, I've never needed to move a mountain. Never in my life have I looked at a mountain and go, I need this moved. Not like I would want that moved, right? Because there's sometimes I've been like, sure, if that hill wasn't there, that'd be nicer. You know, but I've never needed a mountain to be moved, where I've had to pray and ask God to move a mountain. And maybe there are people who in the course of their life have come to that point. I don't know. But that's never happened in my life. But you know what I have found? I have found times where I've said, Lord, I need you to remove this attitude from my life. Or Lord, I need you to bring patience into my life, or humility. Lord, I need you to move forgiveness into my heart. Or I need you to take this thought out of my life or out of my mind. I've needed God to do other things, and sometimes those things seem as big and as stubborn and immovable as a mountain, right? And we've been there going, I need this out, and those things happen by faith. When it's no longer us going, I'll cast this out, right? I'll take care of this. I don't need to go to the Lord. I can handle this. I can do this on my own. I can move this. And the disciples tried that, and then they had to come back to the Lord with their tail between their legs going, okay, can't do it. I can't do it. Why couldn't I do that? And the Lord says, well, you didn't believe, right? You're on your own, in your own strength, trying to do this. And he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And tonight, what for you looks, what on your list looks really impossible? Where you go, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can make this a part of my life. What is it in your life that just, it looks so hard that it's just theoretical? And you haven't found a way to make that a reality. Do you know, really, for us, everything's impossible? Everything for us. Who we are, right? The I in this verse, everything for us is by ourselves impossible. If we just go through that verse, I can do all things, and we stop there, that's not true. That part of the verse, if we just take that and we cut off the rest of the verse, and we just hold on to that and say, go into my day going, I can do all things, then listen, everything on your list is impossible. It will not get done if that's all you take. But if then you add on the rest of that verse and you say, well, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And you spend your day seeing Jesus, your strength. And the Bible says then, the things that are impossible with men, those things are possible with God. That's what God allows for us. I remember hearing some advice years ago for when you're facing a huge list of things that you need to do and you're kind of like you're having a hard time making that first step and just starting, right, and getting going on things, right? You're looking at the list going, I don't even want to start. I don't know where to start. And the advice was this: ask yourself, which 20% will accomplish 80% of my outcome, right? Which of the couple tasks will just get the most done for my day, right? And then do those. Start with those couple tasks that will get a lot done. Well, what if for us, if there was one task that we could kind of put at the beginning of our to-do list that would then enable us to do everything else, right? If we just had one thing that we kind of put first, and we said, if I just do this, then that'll kind of take care of all of the rest of the things I have to do. Well, that's what Paul's telling him, saying, listen, I know I've given you a lot to do. I know I've laid a lot out in this epistle that I've written to you, but he says, listen, start here. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What if that was just our attitude, the beginning of the day and then all the way through? Lord, it's not me. I'm not going to get this done. But Lord, I'm trusting you and I'm leaning upon you to do all of this and to be all of this through me. And we just said, Lord, it's impossible with me. It's just a theory, but I know that you can make a reality if I just trust in you. Because we've got a lot to do. We've got a lot to do and we've got a lot to be tomorrow as Christians, as a Christian father, as a Christian mother, as a Christian husband or wife or coworker, whatever it is, right? All the things that we have to do, there's a lot that God asks of us. He says, you need to do this and you need to be this, but he has not left us to do that on our own. And in theory, we look at tomorrow and we go, you know, in theory, it's going to be a wonderful day. Boy, it's going to be productive and it's going to be a godly day. And we look ahead and go, in theory, I know it can be that. I know it can be that way. It can be a wonderful day. Jesus is the one who takes that theory and then makes it a reality with his strength, not with us, not in our ability, but through Jesus Christ. And by his strength, we can find ourselves doing and being what he wants of us. So tonight, I hope you see Jesus Christ. And I hope you see him as your strength. And I hope it's an encouragement that you don't look at all of God wants and just get so overwhelmed and discouraged with all of that. And I want you to know what the Bible says, that he is our strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word, for the encouragement that it is to us. Because, Lord, our flesh finds it so discouraging when we try on our own to do things and consistently fail. And, Lord, we look to you tonight as our strength. Lord, may we not depend upon ourselves. May we trust in you. And, Lord, find the strength in you to do all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.